That's great. You all have very, you have your presentations are all very rich with very important ideas for us to kind of ruminate over. So I just apologize that that we have such a short time limit for you all. But I'd also like to thank you for respecting it. Now I'd like to, for the next 5 minutes, I'd like to open the floor to questions that anyone may have for our panelists. So let me start with Brother Oliwari. Your question?
Brother Oliwari, thank you very much for your presentation. So you mentioned towards the end that there were certain solutions that Prophet Ramadan presents. So two things. One, could you highlight these solutions a little bit more elaborately? And two, you spoke about autonomy, and I felt like that was, I couldn't understand what you meant by autonomy per se. Could you have, you know, I don't know if you could do both, but whichever is more important. Thank you.
Thank you. Autonomy as a concept that arose out of Western Europe, and it's a concept that is central, as I said, to the understanding of what is considered liberalism, which marks the boundaries of what is politically and socially possible within the Western culture. What do I mean by autonomy? There's many interpretations of the word, but I think that it's a certain understanding of the human that, and it's an understanding of the human that's individualistic. He's mostly an atomistic human being that is there to fulfill his base desires. And so autonomy in this case, which is freedom, but a lot, and these words are very, in Urdu we have the word nazuk, they're very delicate, right? So we use these words, but really when we deploy these words, we're actually perpetuating a kind of vocabulary that furthers the domination. So what I want to say is that Islam has an understanding of freedom and autonomy, but the concept is very different. It's not based on unleashing your individual desires maximizing your desires and pursuing them at the cost of anything. We have certain limits. We have certain goals of the good. And I think what autonomy really means, and I don't want to hog up too much of time, but what autonomy really means is deciding for yourself, based upon your own understanding, what is the good, what is the good life. But us as Muslims, we receive the good life through the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He sets the standard of what is the good life. So we're not confused about what is the good life. We're just on the path to achieve the good life. But an autonomous human being decides for himself, right, on his own individual merit, what is the good life. And these are kind of conceptual tensions that we have to really think about. I'm sorry I didn't get to the thought from that question, but I want to give time for some more questions and we can get to that.
Thank you. We have another question from the floor.
Maybe, I think your speech was excellent and you addressed very important issues about youth not knowing Islam spiritually and mentally. And like the other gentleman said, that we already have the good life established by Islam. The main reason is, as you said, you have to be a Shia Muslim for the youth. There's a lot of culture that has come from different countries which is intermingled with Islam. And what work you all will be doing towards increasing the cultural aspect from the religious. It's so hard for them to understand it spiritually and mentally if it's in the form of so, salam, mercia, himma. Because that is not, a lot of it is culture, more than religion. And that's what turns them away, because they do not understand the message.
That's a good question, and something a lot of people have been debating, especially in relation to many of the Shia communities. And And I personally don't have something of experience that I can offer, but if anything as an opinion from a person who's still learning, I would say this. I would say, from my personal experience, what I have seen is, if we engage ourselves in the orthodoxy that Islam portrays for us, that has provided for us, if we get to the root of the issue, then with time we'll be able to formulate, I'm not going to say an American Islam, because that's something totally different, but I would say there will things that have cultural implications for America, for example. And if we really know our own beliefs, if we really know our core practices, like if there are, a lot of our kids are faced with such ideological issues of not being able to understand the existence of God, understand the purpose of revelation, the purpose of Day of Judgment. If these issues are addressed, and further they're enhanced and practiced through the Furu' al-Din, they'll be able to recognize for themselves what really is culture, what really is religion. And it'll be easier for them to make that dichotomy. But of course, this is just a very humble opinion of mine. There are many other people who have an opinion on this, and they'll be able to elaborate a little bit more. So I'm sorry, that's all I have to say. Sorry.
Thank you very much, Bandy. I know that there are more questions on the floor, but unfortunately, we do have to keep an eye on our watches. Inshallah, maybe in the breakout sessions, we'll have an opportunity to flesh out your questions and ideas more with the panelists one-on-one. At this moment, I would like to invite Furnasheed, Brother Ibrahim Shaheed, to come up and offer a Nasheed for us.
Salawat!
Allahumma salala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Thank you very much to our panelists again. Please give us a lot to them.
Allahumma salala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.